His Word. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 17, verse 11, about the people of Berea. The Bible says these, the Bereans, these were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. They just didn't take the preaching. They just didn't hear the preaching and leave with that, but they took what they had heard and they compared it to thus saith the Word of God to see that those things were so, those things were true. I'm thinking of Jesus when he addresses the Pharisees in John chapter 5, verse 39. The Pharisees who were so ritualistic, so staunch in their belief, yet they had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. And he tells them in John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them, the Scriptures, in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He says, if you'll search the Scripture, turn to Isaiah. Maybe he told him, turn to Isaiah 53, and those Scriptures will reveal me unto you. You've rejected me, but I'm the one the Scripture's talking about. I think of Matthew chapter 12, verse 3, when the Bible says, but he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was an hungered and they that were with him? You see, the Bible is the best-selling book of all times. Can you say amen? We love the King James Bible. It's very involved. It takes a lot of study to get to that point. But if you understand the Textus, the Greek Textus Receptus, and the translator, the work of the translators, that's why we hold to the King James Bible. The Bible is in every library with all the other books, but it has a place in most American homes today. Many homes have several copies of the Bible. I know I have numerous copies of the Word of God that I've used over the years. Most motel rooms have a copy, thanks to the Gideons, of the Word of God. And it's available free on internet all day long. In spite of the fact that most Americans today have access to the Word of God, in spite of the fact that there's so many of us who own at least one copy of the Word of God, many people have never really read the Bible through from cover to cover. I mean, it's obvious that most of our country leaders are somewhat ignorant when it comes to the Bible. I don't want to poke fun or embarrass anyone, but I was embarrassed for Mr. Trump when he got up at Liberty University. And what you might not have known, but he had called, he had talked to a great preacher, Dr. Tony Evans, who preaches the Urban Renewal. He's on the radio every day. He's a fiery black preacher, tremendous preacher. And Donald Trump called Tony Evans and said, can you give me some insight and direction? I'm speaking at Liberty University, and I want to do well tomorrow. So Tony Evans gave him the passage, and he gave him some understanding and notes on what the passage is really saying. And when he got up to introduce his text, he says, turn to 2 Corinthians. And people chuckled and laughed because we all know it's 2 Corinthians. It's not 2 Corinthians. And Tony Evans said, I thought everybody knew it was 2 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians. That being said, most of our political leaders do not have a great in-depth understanding of what the Bible says. College professors and students, they mock at the Scriptures, and most of them have never really read the Bible through or have ever really studied the Bible. Years ago, when I was in Bible college, Bible university or seminary, we would go to the University of Athens, Georgia. And we would go there and we would pass out gospel tracts and we would talk to those peers of ours. We were all about the same age and in college. And we would talk to them about their need of Christ and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There was one young man that we came across, and I remember this is back in the 70s, the real curly type fro type hairdo. He was actually Jewish. And we talked about Jesus. He scoffed about Jesus, and he said that Jesus was the one that gave the Jews such a bad rap that they're the murderers of Jesus. And I remember as we talked to him, we gave him a Bible. And he was so condemning of the Word of God. And we said, have you ever read it? And he said, no, I've read through it. I've never read through it all. I've looked through it. We gave him a Bible and said, we want you to read it this semester. And you read it. If you're going to criticize it, why don't you read it? And we'll come back together towards the end of the semester. And we did. And when we had a delightful surprise that he had become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because I tell you what, this book is alive. This is not just a book written by men. This is a book that was written by men when they were filled and led of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. Understand this, that unsaved people do not have the ability to truly understand scriptural truths in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, the Bible says, but the natural man, that's man in his natural state, in his undone condition, in his sins and transgressions, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, we have a teacher. When we get saved, our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he is the one who illuminates truth in the Word of God to us. He is the translator. He is the one who is the explainer. He's our comforter. He's our convictor. He's the one who leads us as we grow in grace and as we are transformed into the likeness of Jesus, called sanctification. But the lost man doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He's still in his iniquity and sin and transgressions. And because of that, when he looks at the Word of God, it's just foolishness. Today, the lost person sees us. They see us get up and go to church. They thought, man, that's crazy. They could have another day off. They could go stand in the deer stand on Sunday. They could go duck hunting on Sunday. They could go to the mall. I don't want to say too much of that. Some ladies might just get up and run out if I say that. You just go to the mall and do shopping on Sunday. You see, they don't understand. We're not about religion here. Man, we're about a relationship with Jesus Christ. He walks with us and he talks with us and he tells us that we are his own and we love him and we know him and thank God for him today. You see, the lost man doesn't have that. He doesn't understand that. But many Christians have never really come to a point of commitment of reading through their Bible. Now, let me tell you something. A pastor wants to use his influence. But a smart pastor knows that his influence is limited to some point or degree. And it is a wise pastor and a good shepherd who gets his people reading the book. Because I'll tell you something, you read this book, it's going to influence you and it's going to last. This book is life changing. This book will change not just your life, it'll change your eternity. This book is the power of God. It's the gospel of God. Notice about neglecting the Word of God. Do you neglect God's Word? Notice, first of all, the reality of neglecting the Bible. In Matthew 22, verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. You see, neglecting the Word of God, we err. There are people who believe things that it's not even in the Bible. There are people who will say things to, and they're well-meaning and they're kind people. I don't want you to think that I'm ridiculing them. I'm not. I appreciate them. But they'll come to me and they'll say, well, you know, like it says in the Bible, and they'll say something that's not even in the Bible. They haven't really got an anchor. They haven't got a handle on the Scriptures. Now, I want you to know this. It's a wise people who endears the Word of God to his people. I want you to read the Bible, study the Bible, know the Bible, be able to rightly divide the Bible, because that's going to make you the child of God that God wants you to be. No pastor can make you that. No Sunday school teacher can make you that. They might help you, but I want you to know this. You're getting this book. It is life-changing. You see, I was with a sweet lady. This is a sweet lady. And she bought us got Debbie and I a Christmas gift. You're going to think I made this up, but she got this Christmas gift for us. And it shows, it's a beautiful framed portrait, and it shows is the dogwood tree? And what did it say? It's the legend of the dogwood tree. And it's a beautiful poem that's been written about the dogwood tree. And then she looked at me, she says, that's my favorite verse in the Bible. You know, There are those who come to me and they'll say, well, you know, and it's tragic. They lost a child and it's tragic. And I'll be catching their tears and I'll sit with them and I'll tell them the love of God and how that child's with the Lord Jesus now and how you'll be able to see that child again. And sometimes people will turn to me and say, well, my child, he got his wings. He's an angel now. And now he'll be my gardening angel and he'll hover around. I'm going to tell you something. That's not true. That's not in the Bible. You've watched It's a Wonderful Life too many times and Clarence getting his wings and things like that. It's amazing some thoughts that people have. I remember a lady come up to me in a grocery store one time. Hey, Pastor, how are you? I said, I'm doing fine. And she said, what about this weather? Remember, Revelations. Well, actually, it's Revelation. And it has little to do with the weather changing and not changing things along that line. You see, the Bible says, ye do err not knowing the Scriptures. And if you don't know the Scriptures, let me tell you this, you don't know the power of God either. We're reminded in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. We need the Word of God. Understand this, we need to read the Bible daily. It needs to be part of our schedule. We need to schedule our time for Bible. Listen, understand this. God prepares us for tomorrow with today's Scripture. God prepares us for the day with this morning's devotional time. People who are unlearned, people who are ignorant of Scripture, they don't understand God's precepts. God has some precepts. He has some standards. He has some... Hey, listen, he has some expectations for his children, and he relays them to us in his word. Understand this. People who aren't in the word, they don't understand God's precepts. They don't understand God's people. They don't understand the characters that are in the Bible, real men who live. Many people don't know the difference between Hosea and Hezekiah. And if you don't get in the Bible and read, you won't know. But when you read the Scriptures and you see about these men, Barnabas and Silas and Paul, and you read about these men, not just the life of Christ, but Peter and his denial, and the three Hebrew children who wouldn't bow, and they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn, and they came out of the fiery furnace, and King Nebuchadnezzar comes and says, did not we throw in three, but yet we see a fourth image, and the fourth is like the Son of God? I mean, let me tell you something, man, you won't understand how the children of Israel walked around this great city known as Jericho. The walls are so hard, so large and so tall and so thick. People lived that their homes were in them. Two chariots could ride around the top of them. And yet the people of God marched around it every day for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they marched seven times and blew the trumpet and the walls came tumbling down and Israel won. You don't know that unless you get in the Bible. We have Sunday school. Here we have Monday school too. But nothing can compensate for you being responsible for studying and knowing the Word of God. Every once in a while I get amused. I think I've only heard once in my life, I'm not being fed in church. Can I tell you something? That's your fault. Most people who say I'm not being fed, it's not that they're not being fed. They're not liking what they're being fed, usually. But I want you to know this. It's not up to the church to feed you. It's to help you and encourage you and give you direction. But let me tell you something. Feed yourself. I mean, if we were serving out dressing, turkey and dressing, we want to feed you. For you Yankees, stuffing. Stuffing is what we put in our pillows. That's what we put in our mattress. Y'all want to put it on your Thanksgiving plate? Amen. I'm talking the truth now. Yeah. That's not in the Bible. I want you to know. But understand this. If we were going to feed you, you'd starve to death if your next meal's Wednesday night or your next meal's next Sunday. I mean, you'd have to do something. I said, man, I'm glad the church feeds us on Sunday, but we got to eat Monday. We got to eat on Tuesday. We need to eat on Wednesday. We need to eat on... Let me tell you something. That's true with spiritual food as well. People who are ignorant of God's principles, people who don't read the Bible, they're ignorant of God's people in the Bible. They're ignorant of God's power in the Bible. They're ignorant of God's plan and purpose. God's prophetically has made his plan clear and God's purpose for his people today. There's the reality of neglecting the Bible. One man looked to another man and said, I bet you $10 you can't say the Lord's Prayer. And the man said, I sure can. He says, I'll give you $10 if you can say it. And the man bowed his head and said, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. The man says, that's enough. Here, I didn't know that you knew it. Here's your $10. We need to know our Bible. Let me tell you something. The greatest thing that this country needs is the Word of God flowing through its homes. We need revival. It's not the Oval Office that's going to make the difference. I tell you what, it's your house, your home, where the open Bible is open. And let me tell you something. Dads, we, husbands, we are responsible for teaching and training our family the Word of God. I feel bad for some sweet little wife trying to have family altar, some sweet little mother trying to get the kids around the Bible when dad, he's got time to do everything else but open the Word of God. Secondly, notice the replacement for reading the Bible. In Luke chapter 10, we have a tremendous illustration of this. The Bible says in verse 38 of Luke chapter 10, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, catch it, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She's out there and she's fixing dinner for the Lord. She's making sure the pillows on the couch look nice and the pillows on the bed, all 18 of them, look nice, stacked right on the bed. Yeah. And she's making sure that, man, there's no lint or dust on the furniture. And she looks over there at her sister Martha, Mary, and Mary's over there. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus and she's listening to Jesus. She's looking in his eyes and he's given her the word. And she gets cumbered with much serving. She's bothered and she's laboring. So she came to him, verse 40, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Well, that's sister rivalry right there, isn't it? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, I see great compassion in the Lord's verse here. He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, you're worried, you're bothered and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Have you chosen the good part? Listen, make much of Jesus and the word of Jesus, and Jesus will make much of you. You see, the average reader can read the Bible from front to back in about 15 to 20 minutes a day or less. I mean, 15 to 25 minutes or so, you can read daily, you can read through the Bible. I mean, notice some reasons why people don't read the Bible through, who aren't studying, who aren't students of the Bible. Many have exchanged their Bible reading for petty things. Petty things. Things that don't matter. Jesus told Martha, this is petty stuff that you're doing. I'm not saying that the house doesn't need to be cleaned. That's not what Jesus is saying here, but I want you to know this. You can always clean your house. You get one time to sit at the feet of Jesus. You see, there are things that rob us from our Bible reading. Maybe the newspaper, maybe the magazines, maybe a book, maybe email, maybe Facebook. Well, there it is. Don't touch that. I mean, how much time do you spend on Facebook? How much time do you spend on Twitter? How much time do you spend online doing something when you could be reading the Bible? Hey, just click on KJV Bible and you can read that online. You see, there's an old poem that says, Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Mine to tell me whence I came and mine to teach me what I am. We need the Word of God. There are petty things. There are people exchange their Bible reading for profit. Many who work so much, they work so hard, they're so tired to come in and sit down and read the Bible. It's just not an option for them. They fall asleep in their chair. That's why I think you have to do it early, get it done early. You see, they're so tired. Often they come to Sunday school and they fall asleep in Sunday school. Understand, they do not make much of church or of the Word of God. They're believers, they're saved, they love the Lord, but they have not come to that point in their life, and they let profit get in their way. Some let pleasures get in their way. The TV, the radio, music, computers, instruments, games, sports, things along that line. And then I think some people exchange their time to read the Bible for people. For people. Always communicating with people. Always talking. Always doing something with people. Boyfriends and girlfriends. People on the phone. Writing letters. Texting each other. Get off the phone. Get off the social medias. And get into the Word of God. You see, in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, you understand the workings of the Scripture, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, some of you might feel, well, I would be backward, or I would be embarrassed. I wouldn't feel comfortable. And that's fine. No one expects you to, you know, you've not been to Bible seminary. You don't have a Bible degree. But I'm going to tell you this, you still can know the Bible. Someone said, don't mess with that guy with a dog-eared Bible. He's been studying it. He knows it. You see, parents, you can have your kids read the Bible through. I want you to know this. You can tell your kids, here's all the things you better do, and here's all the things you can't do. Christians do these things. Non-Christians do these things. We're not going to do all this stuff. We're going to have all these convictions. We're going to have all these standards, and good girls do this, and bad girls do that, and good guys do this, and bad guys do that. You can have all these rules, and everything can be black and white, but I want you to know this. That will never make your child a spiritual kid. Listen, the way to spirituality for anybody is through the Word of God. Thirdly, notice the results of neglecting the Word of God. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, Paul tells Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Paul says to take heed and unto the doctrine, continue in doctrine. You'll save yourself and others who hear you. Now, Timothy was already saved, so in a sense, this is not dealing with being born again or having eternal life. The Word of God can save a person, save others from many things. Let's notice a few of them. The results of neglecting the Bible. Neglecting the Bible produces deadness. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. You know, if a Christian is dead, they don't have much joy. They don't have much fervency. You know, that's the evidence of? It's an evidence that they're not in the book. They're not in the Word. You see, you will not grow without the Bible. Secondly, understand, you will not be strong without the Bible. In Acts 20, verse 32, there the Bible says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, there it is again, the word, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Understand, we will not be built up. We will not have spiritual strength if we're not in the Bible. Understand, there's not just deadness, but there's that defilement. We're reminded in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. Talking about memorizing it, that I might not sin against thee. When we have the Word of God in our heart and temptation comes, we can easily defeat that because of that scripture and that principle that's there. You see, there's the deception that takes place when we are not in the Bible. In 1 Timothy 4, 1, the Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's deception that's out there. Man, let me tell you something. You read the internet, you listen to preaching today, you better weigh against what thus saith the Word of God. Someone says on television, you want the electrifying power of the Holy Ghost? Put your hand on my hand on the television. Pray this. Kawasaki, Suzuki, Yamaha, Honda. I say, if you want a feeling, put your hand in the back of the TV and grab a couple of wires back there. You'll get your feeling. You see, there are those who will say, Send me $100 a day and God's going to give you $1,000. Give me $1,000and God will give you $10,000. And they'll come up and they'll do this and half the crowd will fall down there and he'll come and they'll do this and oh my goodness. Now there's a Hebrew word for that. You want to tell you what it is? It's called baloney. You know that word, don't you? How do we know when it's of the Lord? We compare it to what thus saith the word of God is. You see, we're told in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's that lamp where we can see where we're stepping. It's that light where we can see our path, where we're going. Lastly, notice the remedy for neglecting the Bible. The psalmist says it this way. All of us have been here, I believe. Psalm 119 and verse 147 and verse 148. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. You ever have one of those restless nights? You can't sleep. You can't rest. Verse 148. My eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Heart's heavy. Can't rest. But you can get up and get that word. I mean, it's nice to have a wife or a husband, or it's nice to have a friend or the pastor, but it's 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and your heart's heavy. And you go and you leave the bedroom chamber and you take your Bible and you go and you sit in that chair and you open the Word of God and you cry out and you say, oh God, I need something from you. And then He begins to meet with you from that holy book. It's as if the back door creaks open and the room is filled with the Spirit of God. And after reading the Scripture, you feel His gentle embrace. And you know He's there. And you know He cares. 4 steps that we need to take to get back in the Bible. Number one, we need to see our need of the Bible. Listen to me. If the Bible's not priority in your life, you will not make it in the Christian walk. If the Bible is not priority, if it's not, I mean, at the top of your list. We used to, when our kids were at home, we had a little saying, no Bible, no breakfast. And the first thing we did was we read the Word of God. And understand this, without the Word of God, we are vulnerable, we are weak, we are frail. We have no strength in ourselves. It's the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword. So see your need of daily time in the Bible. Number two, select that time. Now, I've heard people say, I've heard preachers preach, I get up at 4 in the morning and read the Word of God. Well, that's good, but, you know, I can get up at 6 in the morning and read the Word of God just as good. I don't think there's anything special or holy or sanctifying about 4, you know. And I want to tell you this today. Maybe you can't read it at 4 or at 6 or at 8, but you can read it at 5 in the afternoon or 6 or 7 in the evening. You read it when you can. But you make it a practice. Select a time. See the need. Select the time. Number 3, set aside all obstacles. Put your phone on airplane mode. Turn the television off. Disconnect the doorbell, if you have to. But don't let something come in between you and your time with God. And then number 4, stick with it. Set some goals. Start now. Get some help. Get in a Bible study with somebody that will help you be accountable. Go and buy the 1-year Bible. It's a systematic way of reading through the Bible in 1 year. It's a great Bible to do that. But begin your day with God and His Word. Ralph Spalding Crushman wrote God in the Morning. He said, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best. And His presence came like sunshine, like a glory in my breast. All day long, His presence lingered. All day long, He stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings when a keen remorse of mine, when I too had loosed the mornings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret learned from many a troubled way. You must seek Him in the morning if you want Him throughout the day. Would you stand with me? Can I tell you this as your pastor? God wants to do a mighty work in you. God knows who you are. And God can choose each one of us out individually in a large crowd. He doesn't care if you're Spanish or if you're English. He doesn't care if you're white or brown or black or yellow. He doesn't care if you're educated or if you're illiterate. He doesn't care. He has a specific will for you. And He can take all the hurts and the disappointments and all the harm of your life and turn those things around and use them in a positive way to accomplish His purpose and His will. But no amount of attending church, no amount of going to class to study the Bible in college can compensate for your personal time in relationship with Him. Have you neglected the Word? Don't make excuses. Well, yeah, but I'm busy and I'm a mother of so many. Well, I'm a father. I provide. Well, you know, I've got this job and it's demanding. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, you've got to be in this book daily. And I want you to know this. This is the influence you need in your life. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see people getting offended and getting bothered? It's the evidence they're not in this book. Hey, listen, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, thank God we have a book like this, straight from God. Are you in it? Are you a Bible man? Are you a Bible lady? Are you a Jesus person? Meet Him daily. No one has a monopoly on it. You don't have to stand in line and wait for the appointment. His phone is never busy. We must make much of the Bible. Father, help us. Help us to be people of the Word. Help us to study to show ourselves approved, so that we might rightly divide the word of truth. So we'll not be deceived and error would not come our way. But we would be able to discern what is of you and what is not. So we could tell and discern what is religion and what is of Christ. Make us and help us to become people of the book. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. How many would just simply acknowledge by raising your hand, preacher, God's spoken to me this morning about my need for His Word. Would you raise your hand? All across, yes, God bless you. God bless you, folks. Would you make that commitment today between you and God? I mean, would you come and would you take those four steps? Would you come and would you just clearly see the need and let God help you set a time, block out all the obstacles, stick with it, and become a person of the book of the Bible. If you're here this morning and you're not certain, Heaven's your home. If you're here this morning and you were to die, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven. And you're concerned about that. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I want to go to heaven, but I got some confusion about it. Would you just pray for me? I'd be glad to pray. I won't come to you, won't talk to you about it unless you come to me. But I'll pray. Anybody like that, just raise your hand right up and right back down. Now, Lord, help us this morning to be children who are influenced by the Word of God. And stop listening and just have expectations of what others say. But let us know the doctrine. In thy name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke in your heart. You be obedient to him. You come this morning right now. If you find yourself a place, let's be in the Word of God. Say yes to God. Men, we must lead our homes in righteousness. We do that only through the Word of God. That's the influence you need in your life. On this last stanza, you take your time. Let God have His way in your heart and life. Let's be Bible people. Man, let's be Bible Baptists. Thank you. You may be seated.
All right. As the ushers prepare for the morning offering, a few things to mention. First of all, visitors, thank you for coming and visiting with us. Whether you're passing through or live nearby, you do have many places to visit. But thank you for coming. Our ushers would have gotten to you a visitor's packet in there. There's a few different pieces of paper that tell you a little bit about us. But inside there's a little card. And we ask that you just fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as it passes by in just a moment. So we have a record of your attendance. And again, thank you so much. I hope that God did indeed speak to your heart and challenged you this morning. We are going to be having tonight, after the evening service, a celebration time of Pastor and Mrs. Savage's 27th anniversary here at the church. So that's a long time of faithful service. Families, please bring finger foods, desserts, drinks. We'll have a good time of celebration tonight as a family. Also, we have a couples retreat coming up March 11th through the 13th. Dr. Van Gelderen and Mrs. Wayne Van Gelderen will be here with us. That'll be a Friday evening and then Saturday through the day, and they'll be here all day Sunday with us. But please be here, be on time. And be faithful. It'll be a great time, a great time of challenge for couples, whether you have kids or no kids. There are other things going through, daylight savings time, missions emphasis. Sunday is March 20th, Resurrection Sunday, as well as celebrating the Lord's Supper on March 27th. Some upcoming things there in your bulletin. Look that over. And men, if you'll come forward, let's pray for the offering. Let's be faithful in our giving. God's been so good to us in so many ways, and we need to be faithful and show our appreciation through giving. Rick Perry, would you pray for the offering?
Brother Mr. Miller, you come and stand here if you would, please. It's a real joy to have Billy and Lisa Miller to come and unite with our church this morning. And we have a long history with these folks. This might be a little bit confusing for some of you, but when I came back 27 years ago to candidate to pastor this church, when it was back on Hartsbridge Road, the first person I met was Billy Miller. And he was fixing a handrail for the front porch. And he was a lot younger and thinner back then. And so was I. Yeah. And yeah, my hair was darker. Yes, it was. But I remember looking up after he was working. He said, "Are you the new preacher that's coming to Canada?" I said, "I am." He said, "Are you going to take the church?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm here to meet with the deacons to talk about it." And that was my first person I met. And he and Lisa have been just a part of our church and a part of our family for many years. And I'm very proud of this couple. God's done a mighty work of grace in their life. He graduated from a Bible school, RU school up in Illinois, right? And has a tremendous grasp on the Word of God. I don't usually say this about people who join our church and go on, but I just want to say this is something I've asked God for a long time. And God has worked it out where they can be back at Bethel, and I'm glad to have them here, aren't you? And let's be professional now. Do you both know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And if you were to die, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Both of you know that, and you've both been baptized by immersion in a Baptist church, probably here. Twice. It only takes once, though. Yeah. You want to give a word of testimony? This is the one. Yeah, okay. Is it your desire, and do you believe it to be God's will for you to place your membership here at the Bethel Baptist Church family? As members of Bethel Baptist Church, will you promise to support your church with your cooperation, with your prayers, with your attendance, and with the means that God places at your disposal? Will you do these things? It's a great joy to recognize Brother and Mrs. Miller as members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ because they've been saved. But this morning, in particular, members of Bethel Baptist Church. And if you vote them into the church, would you say amen? Amen. Any opposed? Good. I didn't think there would be. Welcome home. You can be good. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Gray, you come, would you please? And give these announcements for us. And make sure you're in your places today. I want to tell your visitors, thank you for coming. It's a joy to have you. I hope that you were helped today. And I hope our church family certainly was as well. Thank you for putting up with the savages for 27 years. That's a long time.